morning. It is such a joy to be with you today. And you, as a church, have been our partners for so many years, since 1990. And we just want to begin with a special warm-up as we continue in this worship time, asking you to raise your right hand. And would you put it on your left shoulder? And put your left hand up and put it on your other shoulder. You know what I'm going to ask you to do, right? Give a hug for, on behalf of us, on behalf of the Colombians, on behalf of the work that goes on in Colombia. We appreciate you. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate being with you today. And most of all, keep that embrace of our Lord Jesus, who wants to minister and to speak to us through the message today. So to him be the glory and to the praise. Amen.
You can keep hugging, because I know in here it's a little bit cooler than what you saw outside. So maybe you're feeling cold, but if you're not, you can.
And don't just keep that hug to yourself. Later on today, give it away. Because I know you're in this series, and every day is a series of being good neighbors to one another. So give that hug away to somebody who maybe needs an extra hug today. And if you would like to be on our monthly newsletter list, there is a sign up in the back. And we have a picture of us more recently. So please take that and be a part of us continually, because we do count on your prayers. And so as you see this question today, is this what God imagines? Perhaps we think of some things in our mind that would reflect a sad state or the sinful state of our world and the way that we find ourselves living. And yet, in this realization of where we are, there is great hope, because we have the Lord. We have Jesus Christ, who is the one who is our source of salvation and hope and health and peace and redemption for all. And so we thank him. So today the invitation is, as we talk about these passages, is that you would think, and we would think, and we would ponder, and we would question, and go deeper as we consider afresh and anew the very good news, how he imagined us and how he created us to be his beloved children. And Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, our triune God, wants so very much for us to, for him to realize his love through his purposes, through us in mission with him as we live our life in Jesus Christ.
And so our sermon comes out of the last couple of years of our ministry in Colombia. Now, we've been there for a number of years, and the Covenant Church of Colombia has asked Mary Lou and I to pastor and shepherd all of the leadership around Colombia. And that means that when we arrived in Colombia, there were 8 Covenant churches, and now there's over 45, and there are other leaders now being trained, pastors being trained to plant new churches. And there's also about 20 or 25 social ministries that emanate and work through those Covenant churches. And we've been called to pastor and shepherd that leadership around the country as part of our ministry. And for the last couple of years, we studied with that leadership the book of Ephesians. We used a covenant theologian, Klein Snodgrass's commentary on Ephesians. And as we looked at that and we discussed and wrestled with the text, we realized that God, as we was read in the scripture passage this morning from Ephesians, that God had something in mind. He had a destination for us. He had an imagination that he wants us to live into, and a reason for creating us. And so as we struggled with that, we recognized the fact that a lot of times we see what God imagines. We see it through our filters that come out in black and white, in absolutes, and we tend to separate instead of recognizing that God created the world in all of its color and all of its beauty and all the ways that it works together and was meant to work together. And so as we in Colombia with the Covenant leadership were being challenged to how to live into that question, this question came to us: what is it that God imagines, and are we really recognizing and living out that imagination of God in our lives today?
So just to highlight a bit from the beautiful passage from Ephesians, which is such a continual flow of the worship that we are in this morning to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a doxology. It's a prayer of blessing, as we learn from verse 3, that we are a blessed people in the heavenly realms. And that word, heavenly realms, Kleinsnodgrass points out, it is a bigger, larger reality, spiritual reality, that that we have been created as human beings for the here and now and for the future. And so it is a reality that in Him we were created to function this way. And it is in Christ that we have every blessing, the blessings that we have, such as being chosen, being adopted, enveloped into God's grace, His forgiveness, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is, we know from these beginning verses 4-6, that it is God's desire, in accordance with His pleasure and in His great will, that He chose us in Jesus Christ before the creation of the world to be holy, to be blameless, to be set apart, to be adopted into His family as His sons and as His daughters in Jesus Christ, the one He loves. So even before creation, He had us in mind, in His colorful and inclusive imagination. Imagine that. And so our identity, we hear in 7 and 8 from Ephesians, it's freely given before creation to all creation that wants to call upon His name, the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins because of His abundant mercy. He made known to us the mystery of His will in verse 9, and in His timing, He brings all things in heaven and on earth to be one in Christ, bringing unity in Christ and in bringing and fulfilling His purposes, so that we do put that trust in Christ for the glory of His praise.
And we're also talking about... Okay, that we who have heard the gospel, we've heard the truth, and hearing that truth, just in hearing that truth, and not necessarily just hearing it through words, but hearing it through our minds and seeing it and receiving it, that gives us a promise, that gives us a seal. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the first of the great gifts that God brings to us. A Holy Spirit who allows us to make use of and manifest all the other gifts that we receive. The gifts of election and adoption and grace and forgiveness and revelation and the gospel. And so that Holy Spirit is a seal. It's a guarantee and it's a deposit on something that just in hearing, just in experiencing that gospel, as the definition of a missionary was someone who goes around the world to share the gospel. And it's not just in the way we speak, always in Spanish in Colombia, but it's in the way we actually live out those words, because it's so easy to hear. We're bombarded with words today, and we're bombarded with sights today. But what is it that we're actually capturing and keeping? And what God has offered us and what He imagines us is that we're capturing and keeping His life, His Holy Spirit that He has given to us through as a seal and a guarantee.
And we can live out those blessings mentioned from Ephesians. A present contentment of living out who God says we are. And I want to share a story about Sandra and how God was an enabling life and hope in her life. And I was able to meet Sandra last August in the hills of Colombia. And she was a part of a small business class that the foundation Hands with Hope was offering. And I was part of the rotation staff. And so this is the neighborhood where Sandra lives in. And it's a neighborhood where many people have left the countryside and they have come to this area. And so that it's a very marginalized area that homes are just put up, as you can kind of see in those pictures. And so we were meeting up in her neighborhood, and it was really wonderful to get to know Sandra and to get to know the other ladies. We were trying to reach out and to come to know one another in this neighborhood. And once the class began, we were sharing who we are, some of the dreams we have, some of the ideas they had to maybe start up a small business. And we also talked about some of the fears we had, too. of, well, maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe I don't have the resources. How could I ever go forward? Look at my situation. So those were some of the things that came out. But when it was Sandra's turn, she shared about a recent robbery. She came to the class broken and scared of what her life would lead or come to be. Her husband had left her with three small children and the robbery, and it was almost too much to bear. And it was amazing that after the sharing time, we could gather around her. Women that came for the very first time, many who were not even Christians, knew what it meant to be community, knew what it meant in a time of crisis to come around somebody. So we prayed and comforted her and prayed for the Lord to show her hope and to be active in her life. So after we had that time, I had the privilege to share from Genesis 1 and 2 of how we are created and how God loves us and made us in His image and in His likeness. And from Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28, we were focusing in on how He created mankind in His likeness, in His image, and that we had a great task to do. Male and female, He created. And so as I was sharing that, and with the women from a very, very male-dominated society and kind of the control over the women, it was the truth of the gospel, of how we were created this way, created in unity, male and female, created because our triune God created us that way. And He said, let us make mankind in our image. So we have that example of the unity and the union of our triune God creating us this way. And male and female in unity and in equality. Granted, we are different as night and day, male and female, but God put us together to complement one another and to serve Him and to have that equal dignity and the equal value. So there is not one over the other. We are as this, and that task was and is and always will be to steward well His creation. And so that was shared as women. How do we do this according to God's word? How do we do this in union with mankind, male and female, being together? I also shared, though, sin took that unity and broke it apart. And since that day until life in Jesus Christ, there was this dominance of one over the other. There was this disunity and discord that brings a lot of abuse and hardship in our world. But there is hope in Jesus Christ, because we do not need to stay under those consequences of the sin, because Jesus undoes all that, the curses and all of that. And we can have lives that are restored. So when our lives are restored to our Father God, we are restored to one another. So we are restored to Him, and our relationships to one another are restored. And we can have that dignity that was given to us in the very beginning. So this is great news. It was shared with the ladies. The one who created us to be one with the Father, one with one another, one with His creation, is the one who gave us Jesus Christ, His Son, to show us how to love, how to serve, how to be good neighbors, how to imagine and to live out all that He created us to be.
And then Mary Lou went on and shared about, as she mentioned, that the world doesn't always bring us together. The world oftentimes takes us apart. And where God has imagined us to be, live in unity, to live in community, to love our neighbor, to get along with one another, the world oftentimes doesn't allow us to do that. Or we get involved in activities that don't allow us to do that. And the enemy is always coming, seems to always be against us. And Sandra came experiencing that what she had just experienced. And so they did a drama about all the ways that the world or the enemy tells us lies, and we begin to believe those lies. And they did a study by Neil Anderson on the 20 ways to triumph against the attacks that we feel on a daily basis, possibly. And as each woman got a couple of different truths to be victorious about that, Sandra received one, and she said, you know, Why should I allow Satan's control over my life when 1 John 4:4 says, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? And Sandra said, this is exactly what I need to hear. This is what I need to live out, that this Jesus that you women are talking about is what I need so that I can overcome and feel that I can overcome the challenges that I'm facing right now in my life. And her other question she got was, why should I feel cursed or that I am a victim of bad luck? Because she was feeling cursed. She just said, the world is against me. But she was saying, why should I feel that way when the Bible says that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law that I might receive his Spirit, as we mentioned in Ephesians, that she was hearing the gospel, so she was also receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has promised to us.
Have you been with people that just so much energize you and so much just inspire your faith? Sandra inspired my faith. Here was a woman who was ready to receive and ready to hear and ready to encounter the love of God. And as Gary said, it wasn't about the curses. It's not about bad luck, but it's about the power of God who is going to break chains that hold any of us back to be all that we can be because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And so it was an amazing time with these ladies. I was with them in other times, and in this other picture, I was sharing again from the Bible, and it was a very windy day, and we had to change our location from our normal inside to an outside patio. We had to gather umbrellas, and it was hot as well, to kind of shield us from it. And it was this canopy of life over us, and it was kind of fun. I think one of those ladies ended up holding most of those umbrellas so they wouldn't be flying away. And it was, again, a time of being in God's Word, being remindful that we were created with a great task to administrate His world and to be people that contribute and that are productive people. And so in this business class, too, they were learning how to do that. And Sandra let me know she was attending the Covenant Church, a plant church from the downtown Covenant Church in Medellin. She was going to this daughter church, and she was growing in the Lord. She was seeing life in full color, and she was rejoicing in being God's beloved child.
And so she was beginning to see, not just hear and with words and everything, but she was beginning to see and imagine and capture God's imagination for her life. And she was beginning to realize what we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit, that guarantee that we've received. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And oftentimes we want to discern through our own filters. And that's why we see the world often in black and white or in absolutes. But the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of Christ so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
As the good news from Ephesians, the good news from the way that God loves and imagined and created us to be in union and in equality and caring for His world and doing mission with Him, these are incredible, almost unimaginable, unimaginable good news words as well. Good news from our Lord for those that love Him. And it is His Spirit that reveals this to us, even the deep things of God, so that we can understand more fully all that God has freely given us. And so we speak in words that are taught by the Holy Spirit in order to explain different realities. And yet a person without the Spirit often cannot accept or understand the words that come from the Spirit, and they call them foolishness. But those that have the Spirit have the mind of Christ, so that they can make judgments about all things, depending totally and fully on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide. We have the mind of Christ when we are walking by the Spirit, when we allow Him to reveal and to inspire us and to follow Him. And yet, as Gary has mentioned earlier, sometimes our mind can be so narrow and we can become very judgmental, not according to God's ways, but according to our way of seeing and our way of thinking. And the goodness that He has given to us and all the ways that He has made us, we don't always believe that for all people. These are very, very powerful words from Scripture that we're reading today. But the ones that can believe these things are the ones that can say, yes, I reach out to you. We can be together in this situation. Together we're going to solve the problems. But the mind that is not following God, is not submissive to the Spirit, is a mind that's going to take things apart and exclude. And we need to be careful. I need to be careful. And when we are not following the ways of the Lord, may we be able to repent of that and confess that and ask the Lord to draw us together, because we want to be acting in ways that are pleasing to Him, and we want to be being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And so oftentimes we when we meet someone, we don't meet and say, what is it that God would imagine for this person and myself in a relationship that can be formed? We don't look into the possibilities. We don't look into what God might imagine for that. We oftentimes start out by saying this person, identifying what the other person is not. And it is impossible to get to know someone if you begin from the stance of what they are not, instead of what they are or what they can be or how God has created them to be. And what is it that God, I can receive from God? What is it that God can reveal to me through my understanding how God created this person, how God has wanted us to interact? It's so easy for us to objectify and to exclude and to separate when the Scriptures say to us very clearly that there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so if we are all created in God's image, what is that, that image of God that the other person is representing that I might not be representing? And as many years as we've lived in Colombia and worked with the Colombians and all of that, we are still challenged to see other people, to be seen, not representing the United States, but to be representing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see the Colombians not representing a government that today is electing a brand new president, but to representing children of God. Because there are so many other ways that we can categorize it, and the way we see anything is the way we see everything. And so how we see, how we hear, how we perceive, how we understand is very, very important. And that's why we quoted those, that we have been given the mind of Christ. And can we actually see? We have that mind of Christ. We have that possibility through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so can we live into that? Can we accept that? Can we actually see the world as Jesus saw the world? Can we look at the world through His eyes and submit ourselves to how God has imagined the world to be?
And we know that we need to make that personal decision to follow Jesus Christ, right? And many of us have made that, who knows, more recently or many, many years ago. And it is a decision that makes it possible for us to say, Lord, may your will be done and not my will. I really like the verses that come out of Luke 9:23. It gives us an invitation here. Whoever wants to be my disciple, from Luke 9:23, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So it is an invitation to be and grow in discipleship with Jesus Christ, to be that good neighbor with one another, to be the church that God is calling all of us to be, His body, and to reach out and to deny ourselves. That is saying, you know, not my will, Lord Jesus, but your will be done. Taking up the cross daily of submitting myself, following Him. It's not just many years ago when we came to know the Lord, but every day we make that decision. It's this pattern of death and resurrection, of loss and renewal, where we are flowing because the Lord is calling us in this way. So I like these words from our friend Klein Snodgrass, who says that in his book, Who God Says You Are, he tells us that the most important spiritual journey and act of discipleship is in shaping our own identity in response to the call of God to be who we are supposed to be, someone created in God's image. It is the call to shape our lives in response to God.
We want to close by telling you about Guadalupe. Guadalupe is working in the Valle Huelos Covenant Church, and she was called to work with children. And oftentimes, it seems to be easy to see God's creation and God's imagination in the lives of children because they're so imaginative and they're so creative at times. And so Guadalupe was working with the children and doing a good job with that. But Guadalupe lived in a sector of the city of Medellin, another invasion neighborhood, where the gangs and the mafia and the paracos were controlling territories. There were turf wars going on all the time. And those turf wars were being carried out by different young men. Okay? And Guadalupe was hearing that, Guadalupe, I want you to reach out to these young men. As they walked in front of her house, as they made calls from a public telephone in front of her house, God was saying, Guadalupe, these are your neighbors, and I want you to reach out to your neighbors. And she said, no, God, that's okay. I'll continue to work with my little neighbors and with my little children. Those are more fun neighbors. And so, because there's fear there, because she saw these men in black and white. But then she listened to God, and God continued to call her. She began to see them in color, and she began to hear. And so she invited them over to her house, and just to spend time together, to give them an opportunity as a group of young men to actually sit down at a meal together, share food together. Traditionally in Colombia, when you go to someone's house, they serve you the meal. They determine what you're going to eat. They determine how much you're going to eat, and they give you the plate. But Guadalupe and her lunches that she was serving these men every other week, she was doing it family style. And it was the first time that these men had to actually look out for the benefit of somebody else instead of just focusing in on themselves. Well, the lead gang member, the head of all the gangs there, Andres, was seeing a difference. And so one Sunday at noontime, he came and visited with Guadalupe. And Guadalupe returned from church. He thought, oh boy, here was Andres, and he had three bodyguards with him. And she said, this isn't good. But she said, well, Andres, come into my house with your bodyguards. I'll serve you lunch. We'll sit down and we'll get to know each other a little bit more. And so as they were eating their lunch, Andres said, Guadalupe, I came here today to ask you to stop what you're doing. I came here today to stop getting together with these men because you're telling them lies. I'm telling them that it all depends upon them, that they can only look out for themselves, because if they don't look out for themselves, somebody else is going to get them. And yet, you're telling them that there is something different. And Guadalupe says, I'm not. That's the truth, Andres. You have to hear the truth. And I'm not going to stop sharing with these men the truth about Jesus' love, about God's love for them, about the need to work together, about the chance to live in unity, about the chance to love one another, about the chance to be neighbors instead of fighting against each other all the time. Andres said, no, Guadalupe, you got to stop. In fact, some of the men that have been coming to your house, I don't even know where they are anymore. And Guadalupe didn't say this, but she said, I know they had to leave and move on because they knew there was another life somewhere else. But Guadalupe said, I can't. God has called me to this, Andres, and I'm going to continue to do that. And Andres saw that that Guadalupe was not out against him, but she was preaching a truth. It wasn't a truth that Andres had really captured yet, but she was he was not going to convince her. So he thanked her for the meal, and the bodyguards and he and Andres got up and left. And Guadalupe has continued on sharing with these young men. In fact, one time they got it so well that there were 12 of them eating lunch one time. And the pastor is a fellow in the white, Victor. He was there as well. And they started to say, hey, we're living out the gospel. This is the Last Supper, and we're around the table with the 12 disciples. And Pastor Victor, you're Jesus. And here we are living out the gospel with one another because we're starting to look out. We're starting to be a neighbor from one person to another. Also in Ephesians, when we talk about what God imagines, we know that there is one who is able. There is one who is able today in our life, where you're at, wherever you're at. There is one who is able to do more than what we can ask for or imagine. And that one, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father God, is able to do that in color. Because it doesn't depend upon our filters. It depends upon us submitting to how God has imagined it. And so, to Him who is able to do it. Oftentimes we find frustration in our life because we're just not able to do something, to accomplish something. But there is one who is able to do much more than what we have determined. If we're open to stepping into that, He's much more to do much more than what we could even dream about if we're willing to go with Him in that imagination, because He is able to do more than what we ask or imagine, because it's His power that should be at work in us. It's His power that we have received. It's His possibility that we have received in the gift of the Holy Spirit that we were given when we heard and see and saw the truth, the gospel. Because it is His work, and it's at work within us who have received that. Whether we acknowledge it or not, God is at work within our lives. He's at work in our world. And it's to Him that there's glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, in our generation and in those generations that are to come. Amen.
Thank you both so much for your powerful word and for sharing your life of ministry with us. We're very grateful. I invite you all to stand now and read these two verses that are printed in your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 2:9-10.